Gracias, hermanos, por estar aquí hoy. Mi español no es mejor que el del año pasado. That's it. That's all I have. Thank you to all the conference hosts, especially Pastor Pinheiro and Martinez, and to all the attendees, especially the pastors who have traveled far for this privilege of ministry, the 10th year in a row for me. My three presentations this year are devoted to the subject of social media. The first two messages are lectures in the realm of theology, philosophy, and ethics. I've entitled them Social Media, A Christian Credenda Agenda, Parts 1 and 2. The third message is a sermon, more specifically about the ethics of blogging and open publishing, entitled Stop the Killing. Of course, I trust I am bringing a Christian worldview to bear upon all this, a faithful perspective which is founded on Holy Scripture applied to these aspects of life in the modern world. Please pray with me that all my comments would tend to God's glory and our good. Heavenly Father, this is our plea. I am nothing, but your truth is everything. And the salvation of your people and our sanctification is the purpose for which Christ died. We pray, O Lord, in your grace, you would further your redemptive purpose. And please, God, use me as your instrument. Amen. I would begin by making a sweeping statement concerning my attitude in general about social media. My fundamental thesis statement for explanation and defense is this: social media is one of God's good gifts and should be used for good. That's the main point of this first lecture. And if you have any reservations about that statement, I want to persuade you. What comes to your mind when you think about the phrase social media? You probably think about examples of specific ways you use it. But how would you define the phrase social media without examples? The best definition I found was on Wikipedia, that fount of sometimes helpful but always questionable information. It says that social media is interaction among people in which they create, share, and/or exchange information and ideas in virtual communities and networks. Now, by comparing this definition with others, I noticed some essential elements of social media. First, it involves communities of people and two-way communications between them. That is what makes it social. Second, there has to be content of various forms which is shared through electronics and the internet. That is the media part. So without people and the activity of exchange, something to share, and electricity, there would be no social media. Now notice carefully that all of these things I've mentioned have been around for a long time, except for the internet and devices connected to it. These are phenomena, the internet and the devices to access the internet, of only the last several decades, especially the previous decade. And while they represent dramatic advances in communication technology, still, they do not change fundamentally the basic ethical dynamics about interpersonal communications, which have been within our technological grasp for a long time. Here's what I mean. Even the printed page, telegraph, telephone, radio, and television have presented a communication situation which requires our thoughtful use in the light of Scripture. We probably have not appreciated this as much as we should. When I was a very young preacher in the late 70s or early 80s, before these newer technologies arrived, I remember having an idea for a message in which I would bring a paper bag to the pulpit and announce that in this bag is the most dangerous device in your home. What do you suppose it would be? Now, some might argue with me about this, and that's all right. But my strong opinion in those days would have been obvious when I pulled a telephone out of the bag, with television being a close second in terms of dangerous devices in your home. Well, times have changed, haven't they? I did not imagine then that anyone would ever be able to have a device in their pocket, wherever they went, that would provide both phone and TV service on demand, not to mention 10,000 other uses and apps for good and for evil. And you know what I mean. It's called a smartphone. It seems futuristic. It would have seemed futuristic to me in the 70s. Now, let me elaborate on what forms of social media I have in mind. I'm thinking especially about Facebook, which is very popular, versatile, fun, and potentially problematic. After that, let's not forget about blogs. That's a term that's short for weblogs. Photo apps like Instagram, Flickr, and Snapchat. Real-time video like Skype and FaceTime. Twitter for public posting of messages limited to 140 characters with the ability to post links. Text messaging, typically using smartphones. And that now venerable form of electronic communication, email. These types of social media would be prevalent enough in our culture if they were confined to big personal computers on a desk. But they have been unleashed by the invention and proliferation of smartphones. Very popular today are the iPhone and Android-based phones. And these devices liberate us from a desk or notebook computer by the use of cell networks and incredible miniaturization. Now, the mobility of social media is truly breathtaking, at least to older folks. Smartphones and cell networks powerfully harness social media and multiply its potential use and abuse by a factor of at least 10, I would say. The convenience, accessibility, and sheer pleasure of social media with these devices are very alluring and potentially addictive. Truly, we now live in a brave new world, a saying by Aldous Huxley, who died in 1963. He was talking about a world of radically transformed existence, especially one in which technological progress has both positive and negative results. I think the perspective of people under 20 or so is a lot different than people my age, because they haven't seen so many changes technologically as I have. I have used the phrase credenda agenda in the title of these two messages. Some of you may be familiar with a magazine by that title. My use has nothing to do with the magazine. In fact, I can't recommend it. The phrase, rather, comes from the Latin. Credenda is a plural noun related to the verb credo, which means I believe, and so credenda means things to be believed. Agenda is also a plural noun from the Latin, and it means things to be done. Things to be believed, credenda, things to be done, agenda. Since these two terms are so useful in their scope and meaning, and they sound similar, I rather like the phrase as a summary of my first two lectures on social media. I want to lead us to consider what we should believe about social media and what we should do with it, if anything. If you prefer, the phrase creeds and deeds is roughly equivalent to credenda agenda. What is our creed concerning social media? What may or should our deeds be in this area? In these two lectures, I want to answer these two questions concisely and yet profoundly. More specifically, what is a Christian supposed to believe about social media, and how is a Christian supposed to use social media? And these two concepts of credenda and agenda are convenient organization. Part 1, Lecture 1, about credenda, is general, abstract, theological, and instructional. Part 2, on agenda, is specific, concrete, ethical, and directive. I know that everything I present only scratches the surface. This subject is really inexhaustible. I intend my remarks just to lay a foundation for further thought and discussion, and I welcome interaction with you afterward. I am contending that there is a distinctively Christian way to think about social media, and there is a distinctively Christian way to use social media. I know that you agree with me that the ultimate standard for Christian thought and practice is Holy Scripture, rightly interpreted and applied by the Holy Spirit. Now, we do not have time for an elaborate presentation of any of this, so I'm going to be explaining some big ideas without detailed scriptural proof in the interest of expediency. So here is my social media creed, slightly reworded from my former thesis statement. I believe that social media is a gift from God, meant for His glory and for our blessing. I'm utterly convinced that social media is a heavenly stewardship to be managed wisely with accountability to the Lord. So the question before us is this: what is a Christian supposed to believe about social media? Which amounts to asking, What does the Bible teach about social media, since Christians are supposed to believe what the Bible teaches? And at first, you may think the Bible says nothing about social media. You can read it cover to cover, and it never specifically mentions social media as we've described it, not even once. But that does not imply that what the Bible does say is totally irrelevant to our subject. When it comes to our worldview about social media, we have to rely on Scripture like nothing else to inform and guide us. The Scripture has much to say implicitly about social media, what we should think about it, and how we should and should not use it. If we did not know and believe Scripture, we would conform to the ungodly influences around us. And still, this is our tendency. Without biblical faith, we would be, like all the other sinners of this world, in our core identity, and we would behave like all the other sinners of this world in our conduct. And pastors are certainly not automatically exempt from worldliness either. Only God's Word and Spirit make anyone radically different on the inside, and this induces reformation on the outside. This is the difference that amounts to holy nonconformity with the world. Scripture says in Romans 12:2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, that acceptable, and perfect will of God." So how should we think about social media in the broadest possible sense? It seems to me that there are basically only four conceivable options. Either social media as a whole is bad, or it is neutral, or it is good, or it is a qualified good. Let me explain. There probably are some people who think that social media is inherently bad. They consider it to be thoroughly irreverent and harmful, and so they see no use of it. Now, it's not hard to have some sympathy with this point of view. The news routinely informs us about gross immoralities and real tragedies where people are killed, and social media was an important means of these miseries in a fallen world. But it is also undeniable that we can point to legitimate and very helpful uses of social media. For example, the gospel is being spread throughout the world for the glory of God by means of websites like Sermon Audio. Another possibility is that social media is morally neutral. And by that I mean it is neither inherently bad nor good. It just is. It kind of exists, according to this point of view, in a theological and philosophical vacuum without any relationship to God or morality. But in a Christian worldview, nothing really fits in that category. We know that the Scripture reveals God as universal creator and sustainer. He governs all His creatures and all their actions for His own glory. Nothing he has made is totally unrelated to Him and His purpose. So this perspective of social media neutrality is not viable from a Christian point of view. The third conceptual possibility is that social media is an unmitigated good with no downside whatsoever. But could anybody possibly believe that? In a fallen world, everything is tainted and abused. And even unbelievers can easily see the manifold evils of social media. No, this option is not plausible either. And that only leaves us the fourth option, which is that social media is essentially and inherently good, and it may be used properly or abused. And that seems to me the reasonable way to think about this. And in my judgment, it has the support of Scripture and a broad biblical worldview. Each of these four perspectives has practical implications. If social media is inherently bad, then a Christian should have nothing to do with it. If it's neutral, a Christian has nothing important to say about it. If it is all good with no downside, then it's fine to do anything you please with it. But this implication is obviously foolish and wicked. And fourthly, if social media is essentially good, then Christians should use it for good as God intends. This is my firm position, and I want to show you why. Right thinking about social media all starts with knowing God as He really is. I know that this church and group of pastors has strong agreement when it comes to a biblical Trinitarian theology, and this is foundational. We also all confess that God is eternal, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the Almighty. Now think deeply with me. To say that God existed before creation is inadequate. It's better to say God alone exists eternally. He is a se. It's a Latin phrase. We believe in the aseity of God. In other words, His ground of being is in Himself. Of all things that exist, He is uniquely uncaused. Scripture says, in Him we live and move and have our being. Acts 17:28. Remember, too, that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are eternally communicative. Their relationship with one another is characterized by perfect love and intimate, harmonious sharing or fellowship. God is love, 1 John 4:8. Love is His very nature, and love must have an object. Scripture reveals the eternality of inter-Trinitarian love. God is relational from eternity. The true and living God eternally loves. Jesus prayed, Father, Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. John 17:24. Now this is radically different from and superior to the gods of all other religions. Even the monotheism of Islam with Allah, who is a monad, and either not a relational being at all or isolated and lonely from eternity. The true and living God was never lonely. He is eternally self-sufficient. We also need to think biblically about creation. All creatures came into existence by God's sovereign fiat at the beginning of time. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Genesis 1:3. And so it is with all other created things. Hebrews 11:3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And God created human beings in His own image, Genesis 1:26. Adam and Eve with all their descendants in them. The whole human race potentially present in the first two human beings God made. And God created people with the ability to relate to Him and to relate to one another. In the original creation and by God's design, we are made to love Him and to love others. And in this sense, we reflect God's own nature of love. Interpersonal love is the essence of the Christian ethic. What is righteousness? Righteousness is interpersonal love. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment of the law? A man asked Jesus. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And I would remind you of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Furthermore, God pronounced all creation to be very good, Genesis 1:31. Not evil and not neutral, but good. And everything necessary for the development of social media was already present then in that very good creation. All the physical components were created in 6 days because nothing has been created ex nihilo since then. And the human race, with our ability to invent, to communicate, and to use natural resources for our good, all these were latent in the original creation. And so since social media is, in the very essence of what it is, part of God's good creation, very good creation, it must be essentially good. It has been said that using social media is playing with fire. Taken as a warning to be very, very careful with it, I can agree. But this is an inadequate generalization about social media. The analogy with fire is good. Fire was also part of God's original good creation. It was part of what he pronounced very good. And yet, it is something that people both use and abuse. And not everyone who uses fire is a pyromaniac. And so it is with social media. Not everyone who uses social media abuses it. We must not love things just because they are new, on the one hand, nor sympathize with Luddites who oppose technological change for its own sake. I urge you also to think scripturally about ruin, redemption, and restoration to the glory of God. Ruin, redemption, and restoration. This is the big story that runs through the whole Bible. God's ultimate purpose is to glorify himself for all eternity, especially in the redemption of fallen creation, with mankind the supreme example of God's saving work. Now let me summarize it this way, although I admit it's an oversimplification. From eternity, the Father planned redemption. In history, the Son accomplished redemption, and ever since, the Spirit is applying redemption. This is the doctrine of Scripture. From eternity, God the Father planned redemption. In history, the Son accomplished redemption, and ever since, the Spirit is applying the redemption Christ accomplished. Let me elaborate. Ruin came through sin in the Garden of Eden, with Adam and Eve eating the forbidden fruit against God's revealed will, Genesis 3. And as a result of this, all Adam's descendants except Christ are born sinners with depraved hearts and an inclination to all evil. And that's us. We are not natural God lovers or people lovers. The Bible describes the unregenerate man as an unregenerate people as haters of God, Romans 1:30. And sinners as hateful and hating one another, Titus 3:3. It is so horrible. Sin has incapacitated us with respect to love. The friendship, the sharing, the communication between God and humanity was broken in the fall. And we became hostile to Him. And that is our fundamental problem. But redemption was always God's plan to save a people for the glory of His name from His gracious love toward them. And toward that end, God sent His only begotten Son into the world. He became a true human being. Jesus Christ fulfilled God's will perfectly during His life, keeping all the commandments as He should. Then He died for sinners and rose from the dead on the third day after we crucified Him. He was seen alive by hundreds of people, and then He ascended to heaven, where He lives, reigns, and intercedes for His people even now. The God-man, Christ Jesus, is the only mediator, Scripture says, between God and man, 1 Timothy 2:5. The only go-between. Jesus is the only channel of fellowship between God and man. And it is because of Him that believers have true fellowship with God and with one another. And when I say fellowship, I mean sharing, communication, love, and harmony. Jesus makes all that a reality. Testifying about Jesus, John the Apostle wrote, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ." 1 John 1:3. Now, from heaven, the Father and the Son send the Spirit to apply the redemption accomplished by Christ. And this is how God restores the ruined creation, especially in saving the otherwise hopeless sinners. The Spirit moved men to complete the writing of Scripture, which is God's own word. Then the Spirit sends gospel preachers throughout the world with the word of the Lord in our mouths. The Spirit then gives faith to some who hear the gospel by regenerating their hearts, making them sincere, earnest, devoted, and loyal followers of Jesus. And the Spirit begins and continues His radical transformation process in each believer, making us progressively more and more like Jesus, who loves God and people perfectly. And without this work of the Spirit, people necessarily continue as wretched sinners, whether they realize it or not. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, what is the place of social media in all this? In its best possible use, social media is a box of tools for evangelism and Christian fellowship. In its best possible use, social media is a box of tools for evangelizing the world and for Christian fellowship. Evangelism, of course, is the proclamation of the gospel by which sinners become reconciled, reconnected, if you will, with God for restored fellowship with Him. And that glorious good news about Jesus Christ can be transmitted in many ways using social media. And in this electronic network, fellow believers can also communicate and share. That is, Christians can fellowship with one another through social media. Human spirits commune online. And there are countless ways we can do one another good in this digital community. And in this light, it's not hard to see that social media is inherently good and a gift of God. So social media can become a servant to the highest possible purpose, namely the glory of God in our fellowship with Him and with one another. Finally, think biblically about Christian ethics, specifically the ethics of social media. God teaches us in His Word, then, that the only legitimate purpose of social media is to glorify Him and to help people. That's all it can be used for legitimately. That is why it exists at all. In fact, that's why you are in the world. And that's why God has given you this means toward that end. And this has the most practical implications, doesn't it? Everything we say and do should be an expression of supreme love to God and benevolent love to our fellow man. Now, these two verses that I'm about to quote are highly relevant and should govern all of our use of social media. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Galatians 6:10. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So always in the back of your mind, as a spiritual and moral test, think to yourself, does this glorify God and do good to others? That's the test of whether it's righteous. Now, what I'm about to say may startle some people, but it follows from everything I have already explained. Listen very carefully. Only real Christians under the influence of the Holy Spirit can use social media in the right way. Only real Christians under the influence of the Holy Spirit can use social media in the right way. Until we have become real Christians, and unless we are led by the Spirit of God in our actions, then anything and everything we've ever done with social media, and everything else in our lives for that matter, has been sinful, displeasing to God, and generally hurtful to other people. And the necessary corollary is that even real Christians must grow spiritually to increase in our skill to minister via social media and to avoid its pitfalls. Let me say that again. Even real Christians must grow spiritually to increase in our skill to serve God and man via social media and to avoid its pitfalls. Now, in conclusion, I call upon all of you, my brethren and fellow pastors, to make sure you're thinking clearly and biblically about social media. You pastors are appointed teachers of God's flock, even in things like this. You are in an especially visible and important position of influence over many people, particularly if you're taking advantage of the opportunities of social media. It's very likely that many thousands of people you do not even know and will never meet in this life are being shaped and molded by what you broadcast over the internet in one form or another. Oh, what a weighty stewardship we have from the Lord. And every single one of us must give account to Him on Judgment Day. Social media is a talent that He expects us to use if we have the opportunity to promote His glory and advance His kingdom in the world. If we are going to be enabled by grace one day to hear His commendation, "Well done, good and faithful servant," then we must come to scriptural and rational views, as I trust I have set before you in this first lecture. May God give us more light from His Word. And God, I thank You for sustaining me this evening to the end of this lecture. Let us pray. Our Father, most merciful, generous, kind, patient, wise, we would know You better, serve You better, be useful in the world while we live here. We would more perfectly exemplify supreme love to You and benevolent love to our fellow human beings, especially to the household of faith. And so we pray that we would be transformed more and more by the renewing of our minds, so that we may prove in our experience what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. In Jesus' name, amen.